Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches. Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches. Not only green when summer glows, but in the winter when it snows. Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches. Do 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 ba do 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 ba do 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 do. Merry Merry Christmas. Do do ba do 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 ba do do. Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree, how lovely are.
Bob, we're not getting any sound from you. Could it be that you're muted?
It's a team effort here, folks. And I'm grateful to be working with such amazing folks. Let's take it from the top. We come into this sanctuary out of the cold, weary from a long year's journey. Let us be warmed by the lights, warmed by the company of friend and stranger, warmed by familiar stories and new poetry. Let us laugh and cry and sigh and smile. Come into this sanctuary. Will you join me in kindling our chalices? We light this chalice as we remember on this Christmas Eve what we have lost, what we have found, and what we have learned. This light burns brightly like the lights that burn within us and between us. As we kindle this chalice, we conjure the holy that arises from our shared journey. Come, let us celebrate that light together.
I invite you to join me now in singing a couple of songs with the kids. We're going to start off with Frosty the Snowman. Remember, you're all muted. So you can hear me, but we can't hear you. So sing loud and have a lot of fun. Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old hill hat they found. But when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Frosty the Snowman was as live as he could be. And the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, look at Frosty go. Thumpity thump thump thumpity thump thump over the hills of snow. Frosty the snowman knew the sun was hot that day. So he said, let's run and have some fun before I melt away. Down to the village with a broomstick in his hand. Oh, the square children, and catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town, right to the traffic cop. And he only paused a moment when he heard them holler stop. Frosty the snowman had to hurry on his way. But he waved goodbye saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday. Thumpity thump thump thumpity thump thump, look at Frosty go. Thumpity thump thump thumpity thump thump over the hills of snow. How let's do Jingle Bells. Since nobody, including me, knows the second verse, let's just sing the first verse twice, okay? Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Ha, 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 bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Now we're going to sing Feliz Navidad. It's in Spanish, the first part. The second part's in English. So if you don't know the Spanish yet, just listen and hum along, and then we'll all sing the English together. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año y Felicidad. Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año y Felicidad. Wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero Año y Felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año y Felicidad. Wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from wish you a Merry Christmas. What I wish you a Merry Christmas. What I wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, and welcome everybody. Or maybe I should thank you for your welcome tonight. Every Christmas Eve, we welcome you into the church, but tonight, in fact, you are actually welcoming church into your homes. We are all welcoming each other on this Christmas Eve. Let us welcome each other as strangers who have crossed miraculous distances to stand upon each other's doorsteps. May all of our homes be a sanctuary tonight. Welcome to the strange, familiar, new, and ancient story of Christmas. I'm Angela Herrera, the senior minister here. I'm here with the Reverend Bob LaValle, our associate minister, with Director of Music Susan Peck, lay leader Michaela Renz Whitmore, and our song leader you just heard, Vance Bass. Our DJ is Technical Arts Director Chris Paul, and together he and Susan are also tonight's video producers. And I want to say thank you to all of our tech volunteers for providing hospitality, and to all who join in song and story. It's good to be together. Welcome to you who are excited, you who are anxious, you who are lonely, you who are grieving, and you who are simply thrilled to be alive. If you are exhausted, may you pile pillows about you and find a comfortable place to rest. If you are on a sugar high, then may you find that the music has you dancing around the room. If you are sad, then if the spirit moves tonight, it is especially for you, and may joy come in the morning. Tonight, as we do every Christmas Eve night, we'll sing, we'll tell stories, and we'll pray for a kinder and more just world. If possible, please have a candle ready for the candle lighting ceremony that'll take place at the end of the service, when we will rededicate ourselves to the vision of a new day of peace and equity and love for all people in all places. In this spirit of compassion and wonder, welcome, welcome all.
Our first reading is from the Gospel of Luke, Our first reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. All went to be registered, everyone in their own city. And Joseph also went. He went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be registered with Mary, who was expecting a child. And so it was, while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
The holidays are a time of repetition, when we remember the stories that pass with the turn of the year. This Christmas Eve, we remember the story of a birth, a humble beginning. This is a story about selfishness and generosity, and a reminder for us to look out for the least, the last, and the lost. Here at First Unitarian, we tell the version of the story that is traditional to the Southwest. The story of Maria and Jose, rather than Mary and Joseph, is acted out in plazas all over New Mexico. And I'll apologize in advance for my poor Spanish accent. Jose and Maria are a young couple, poor and honest and traveling from their little town in the country to the big city of Bethlehem. The government had told them that they must get registered, and they went on this journey to get their papers. It was a long trip, Jose walking on foot and Maria riding a donkey because she was pregnant with their first child. As they walk into Bethlehem, it's late and they are cold and exhausted. They are seeking a posada, an inn where they can stay the night. They need to get a little to eat and to be warm and rest from their long journey. Jose and Maria are not the only people seeking their papers in Bethlehem, and the city is crowded with travelers. It won't be easy to find a posada. They see an inn and approach the door. Then they knock. The innkeeper opens the door and scowls at them. Jose asks, "Podemos entrar?" which means, "May we come in?" The innkeeper looks them up and down, taking note of their dirty, tattered clothes and just how very pregnant Maria is. He hears their strange country accent, and he knows that they are strangers to Bethlehem. He gruffly says, "No hay posada," and firmly shuts the door before Jose can answer. Maria says, "I am so tired and uncomfortable. Riding a donkey is no fun when you're 9 months pregnant. Let's move on from this posada and see if we can find another one." Jose agrees, and they slowly make their way down the busy street. They come to a large house. It has a well and animals and all the signs of being comfortably well off. Maria says, "Let's give this place a try. It looks like they have room and plenty of comfort to spare." Again, Jose knocks on the door. The door opens and a woman, looking anxious, asks them what they want. Jose says, "We are travelers from far away, looking for a place to rest our heads tonight. Perhaps you have a bed to spare for two weary travelers?" Maria asks, "Podemos entrar? I'm heavy with child and I'm so weary from the road." The woman's face tightens and she says, "I'm sorry, all the cousins are here to get their papers. There's not an inch to spare." Jose looks past her at the spacious rooms inside, seeing a fireplace glowing warmly and a table covered in food and drink with many chairs around it. The woman shakes her head. "No hay posada. I can't let you in. Maybe you'll have better luck down the road. In the meantime, I'll keep you in my thoughts and prayers." And with that, she closes the door, shutting out the view of all that food and all those comfortable chairs. It's getting late, and Maria and Jose are starting to feel desperate. Maria says, "We don't need thoughts and prayers. We need a safe place to stay." Jose agrees, saying, "They seem to have plenty, but couldn't find it in their hearts to share with us. Why are people so selfish?" They shake their heads and, having no other options, continue their weary walk down the road. They come to another posada, a simple inn with a large building for travelers to eat and sleep in, and a small barn for livestock. "Might as well try," says Jose, and he knocks on the door. The door opens and the innkeeper appears. "Before you even ask, I can tell you that we are full up. Every bed is taken by two and even three people. They've cleaned out our kitchen. There's barely room for us to stand. I'm so sorry, you look tired, and I see that you are very pregnant, but no hay posada." By now, Maria and Jose are so tired, they don't even know what to say or do. They just stand there, out of options and too weary to move on. Maria is starting to panic. She can feel the first pains of labor coming on. She doesn't have long until she will give birth, and she groans from the spasms. The innkeeper is moved and says hesitantly, "Look, this is not ideal, but you can sleep in the barn. There are animals in there, and you'll have to make a bed out of hay, but you'll be off the road and warm and safe. If that's all right for you, I'll let you stay." Jose says, "We'll take anything right now. We're grateful for your generosity." The innkeeper says, "It's not much generosity for you to sleep with the goats and the sheep, but you are welcome to it." Relieved, Mary and Joseph walk to the barn and settle in for the night. In that barn, as the sheep and goats looked on, Maria gives birth to a son, Jesus. She wraps him in rough burlap to keep him warm and lays him down in a manger. That was not the only grace that happened that night. As the newborn child lay in the manger, there were shepherds out in their fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. You will find a baby lying in a manger." And suddenly there were lots of angels in the sky, all singing. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what has happened." Thus it was that the first person to greet the baby were not important people or rich people, but ordinary working folks. The powerful people did come soon, though. Three kings saw the star in the sky over Bethlehem and traveled from the east to see the reason for the star. These magi found Jesus, Maria, and Jose in that barn, and they brought them gifts of incense and spice and gold. In this church, we teach that every night that a child is born is a holy night. Every child. Any child who comes into the world might just be the one whose love and wisdom will light up our lives. And because children are born every night, all full of beauty and potential and hope, we're reminded that we must create a world where every weary traveler can find rest, and where every child is welcomed and loved. We celebrate that on Christmas Eve for every night of the year. blessed be.
Will you join me in singing Gather Round the Manger? If you have a hymnal at home, it's number 229 in Singing the Living Tradition. This is a beautiful song written by Reverend Heather Lynn Hansen.
December by Gary Johnson. A little girl is singing for the faithful to come ye, joyful and triumphant, a song she loves, and also the partridge in a pear tree, and the golden rings and the turtle doves. In the dark streets, red lights and green and blue, where the faithful live, some joyful, some troubled. Enduring the cold and also the flu, taking the garbage out and keeping the sidewalk shoveled. Not much triumph going on here, and yet there is much that we do not understand. And my hopes and fears are met in this small singer holding onto my hand. Onward we go faithfully into the dark. And are there angels singing overhead? Hark!
Tensions had been brewing for years, but the war had only just started that summer. The first battle took place in August. Soon, trenches as deep as you are tall and deeper had been dug and filled with soldiers. Life in the trenches was terrible, full of rats, mud, injury, and worse. It smelled horrible. There was destruction all around, rubble, blackened trees, evidence of explosions. The trenches held water and muck, and just being in them led to illness. Think of how your fingers and toes get wrinkly in a swimming pool. Now imagine that swimming pool filled with mud and your swim lasting for months. The trenches on the front lines were often only yards away from the enemy's trenches. You could stick your head up and see them over there, if you dared, off in the distance, but not too far. And the ones on the front lines were under fire all the time, bullets and cannonballs passing back and forth. The area in the middle, between one side's trenches and the others, was called no man's land. Anyone passing through there was completely exposed. Barbed wire marked the edge of each side's trench warfare turf. The first battle had been in August. Now, 4 months later, and just past the winter solstice, the troops were tired. The days were so short, the nights so long. There were 16 hours of darkness, only 8 hours of light. Yet the soldiers had a hard time sleeping. It was freezing cold for one thing. Everyone was sick for another, which was serious because antibiotics had not yet been invented. And then, weirdly, even though the whole situation was miserable and dangerous, a lot of the troops' time was spent in boredom, just waiting for something to happen. They were scared and bored. It was a combination of boredom and fear, like a pandemic lockdown, but worse, way worse. The governments and loved ones back home sent things to try to lift the troops' spirits. They sent tins of pudding and cans of corned beef and cans of beer, letters, postcards, and things like that. Those acts of kindness mattered a lot, though in truth, the soldiers were already pretty tired of canned food, and they were still homesick. But now it was Christmas Eve. The human spirit is strong, just like the Christmas spirit. So some of them strung up lights above the trenches. They'd been there so long, the enemies already knew where they were, after all. Some of them found evergreen boughs or trees, and they hung those up too, decorated with candles. The soldiers didn't have very much to decorate with, but the trenches were so ugly that this unexpected beauty really stood out. In fact, it looked extra beautiful, because everything around it was so bleak. Soon, in spite of everything, the troops were feeling the Christmas spirit. They felt the Christmas spirit, and most importantly of all, they had a tendency to sing. Music is one of those things that no one and nothing can take away from you, not even a war, not even a pandemic. Even if you can't sing in a choir, and even if you can't use your single voice or even tap out a beat, even then you can still hear music in your mind. A song can express your feelings, can give you energy, or remind you that others have faced similar challenges. Music connects us with our spirits and our cultures. Songs tell stories, some of them very old and important. Music can be a form of prayer or an invitation. One of the soldiers who was in the trenches that Christmas Eve near the French town of Armentier described what happened next. He was a British rifleman named Graham Williams, and he was on duty watching over that no man's land. There in the mud and the moonlight, a calm had settled over the battlefield. Graham was thinking about what a very different Christmas it was going to be compared to any he'd had up until then. He thought of his father back home, and he knew that right about then, his father was probably mixing up his traditional Christmas punch with rum. "I could go for some of that rum punch," Graham thought to himself. He was feeling so miserable. And then, all of a sudden, lights appeared along the other side's trench. The other side was the Germans, and no sooner had their lights turned on than they started singing Stille Nacht. We know that song. In English, we call it Silent Night. Graham woke his fellow soldiers up to hear what was happening. When the Germans finished their Christmas carol, the British soldiers applauded, and then, with the feeling that, as Graham put it, they must retaliate in some way, the Brits replied by singing the first Noel. Can you hear it in your mind? When they finished, the Germans applauded and they launched into O Tannenbaum. And then back and forth they went with the caroling until the British began to sing, O Come All You Faithful, at which point the Germans joined right in singing along with the Latin verse. The two opposing sides both knew the Latin, and they were singing the same Christmas carol together in the middle of a war. In fact, all along the Western Front of that war, not everywhere, but in many places, the two sides began spontaneously connecting. Up and down the battlefront, soldiers emerged cautiously. White flags were raised. People who had been enemies just that morning shook hands and spoke to each other. Some played soccer. Another soldier, Frank Richards, recalled that his area's Christmas truce started when his side held up a board that said Merry Christmas, and then the other side did the same. They noticed nobody was shooting. When a man from the other side walked into no man's land with his hands up, someone on Frank's side threw down his equipment and he went out to meet that guy, and soon everybody came out. One of the people in charge, a commander for the company, was opposed to this. Everyone was supposed to be fighting. After all, it was a war. So the commander tried to stop the two sides from greeting each other. He threatened to shoot anyone who participated, but the troops informed him that he was too late. In no man's land, they talked about their shared misery and how they hoped the war would not last much longer. They traded pudding and beer. They exchanged hats and gloves. Some exchanged addresses and promised to write letters after the war if they survived. And some of them went on to really, truly do that. Now, like that commander, many of the officials in charge were not happy about this. In fact, a couple of weeks earlier, Pope Benedict XV had suggested that the fighting pause in honor of Christmas, and the warring countries had refused to do any such thing. It seems government leaders did not like the idea either. And yet, in defiance of orders, the soldiers had initiated a sudden peace on their own. In one instance, when they were ordered to fire on each other, they merely pretended. They yelled across no man's land for everyone to duck, and then on purpose, they aimed too high. And when it was the other side's turn, they did the same. And afterward, the truce resumed. Each side had been told that their enemies were monsters, that they had no morals, that they must be fought. Yet what the soldiers encountered in no man's land were fellow humans. Their differences, though very serious, were not the whole story. In fact, there were no monsters, only people, lonely, each hurting in their own way, each longing for warmth and home. I wish I could say that the Christmas truce of 1914 marked the end of the fighting. But we who look back from the future, from the year 2020, know that the Great War, as it was called then, would go on for four more years. And then it would be followed by another one that was so large, the two terrible wars would come to be known as World War I and World War II. And many other things would also happen between then and now, some good, some bad. In 2005, the last known person who had taken part in the Christmas truce died. Alfred Anderson was a World War I veteran who lived in Scotland. Back in the trenches, when he was just 18 years old, he must have feared greatly for his life. Yet he lived to be 109. When he died, the story became ours to carry on. And we are still telling it, along with another Christmas story, that much older one about a tiny baby who was born in a stable and became a great healer and teacher who wanted to bring healing to the world. Humans have been telling the story of Jesus's birth for 2,000 years. We've been telling the story of the Christmas truce for 100 years. Jesus seems like a long time ago, but the ratio puts it in perspective. For every 20 days, humans have been telling the story of Jesus. We've been telling the story of the Christmas truce for one day. One led to the other, and we think of them as so long ago, but when we put them in this perspective, we see that maybe what's more true is that they're not long ago at all, that they're still happening now, and we're still living them. And later generations, speaking from the future, will tell what happens next. Here's what we know from these stories as we tell them in 2020. That seeing the humanity in each other is always right, is never wrong, no matter how divided we've become. And that history is unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. God shows up in a family no one wanted to let in. Peace breaks out in the middle of a war. It makes no sense and all the sense. That unpredictability is sometimes deeply unsettling. This year has reminded us of that. But it's also why we should never give up hope. The words of the poet. Not much triumph going on here, and yet there is so much we do not understand. And my hopes and fears are met in this small singer holding on to my hand. Onward we go faithfully into the dark. And are there angels singing overhead? Hark. Will you join me in a Christmas prayer? Spirit of life, source of peace and strength, mystery called by a thousand names. Pour your love down on this weary world. In the Psalms, it is written, though tears may last through the night, joy comes in the morning. Let it be so. Let all who are suffering, all who are frightened or grieving, be comforted. Let love pour down on them. Let love pour down on this world tonight, and let it be seen passing from one person to another. Spirit of the turning year, it has been a painful time. Hold us now in your tender mercy as we long for each other's embrace, as we breathe, as we strengthen and endure and lean into the months to come. Spirit of bright stars and gentle moon, of planets shining like Christmas stars, illumine history's unfolding path. And help us to see you in each other's faces. All of us, dreamers, misguided idealists, wagers of war and peace, all children from the same source. We give thanks for our lives, for our loved ones, and for all the blessings that sustain us. We give thanks for one another, and we pray for the wisdom and the courage to make our lives a blessing upon others through our manner of being in this world. All this we offer as our common Christmas prayer. Amen. Peace be with you.
And also with you. Tonight, we continue our Christmas Eve tradition of directing our offerings to the First Unitarian Food Pantry. In this year of years, the most vulnerable among us have relied more than ever on the grocery bags of food provided by our food pantry volunteers. Every week, more than 100 families come to this congregation looking for sustenance. And despite the pandemic, our food pantry volunteers overcame obstacles again and again to find ways to serve these families safely. During the offertory video, you'll see pictures of our volunteers taken before the mandate to wear masks. You can contribute using the link in the chat or by sending a check to the church office. We will now take up the offering for the First Unitarian Food Pantry.
Thank you. What is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of the First You Food Pantry. There are many lights in our lives. The stars, sun, and moon that light the sky. The fires, lamps, and candles that light our homes. And the special lights of the season that twinkle in the winter darkness. But blessed beyond all these is the light that lights every child who comes into the world, as we each are touched into being by the divine.
We see the holy flame in the newborn child laid in a manger, and it signifies hope in the darkness of night. Many people in other times and places have seen the holy flame, have nurtured it and guarded it and helped it shine throughout the world. They have dispelled ignorance, cruelty, and injustice. They have been light bearers.
Now it is our turn. Now the light will move from the manger to the world only if our hearts carry it and if our hands shield it from the wintry blasts of darkness and cold. It is our hands and our lives that bear the good news of love in the world. We invite you to light a candle during the instrumental verse, then join the choir in singing a verse of Silent Night, and then hum a verse.
The flame represents the light of love and justice, mercy and kindness, the light of truth that burns within each of us and which we sometimes carry for each other in times of darkness.
I invite you to put your screen in gallery view now, as you are able. If you're watching on a computer, click on the view button. Good job. Let us together lift our candles on high as we dedicate ourselves anew to be bearers of the sacred flame.
The glow of these candles will last beyond this service. And even when we extinguish their flames later tonight, they don't truly go out, for we carry their meaning with us out into the world.
I invite you to return to speaker view, or you can stay in gallery view and see each other's beautiful faces. And we will be inviting folks to join in the breakout rooms following the service. So if you want to stay in a breakout room, talk to our people, just stay on the service after we wrap it up. Let's extinguish our chalices. But you might want to keep your second candle burning in a safe place as a reminder of the light of love that burns within us. Onward we go faithfully into the dark. And are there angels singing overhead? Hark. Our celebration is over. May we all know joy and comfort and a happy new year.